B-Pod Studios.
Final score, Miami 103 and Milwaukee Bucks 94. Boy, what a close one this one turned out to be. Again, no Giannis Antetokounmpo, but the Heat hang on.
And so it's official, Miami in the Eastern Conference Final, waiting for you. And that's where we'll start. We'll start with the Celtics hour and some Bruins stuff later on this hour as well. So if you want to talk about hoops, now's your chance about both the Celtics and what awaits them in the East Final if they can get by Toronto tonight. And Giannis and the Bucks, that'll be on the table. And again, so get some Bruins future here coming up in a second. It's Felger, Maz, and Murray from our Town Fair Terrace Studios in Dorchester, Wednesday, September 9th. Hi, Anthony.
Good deal.
Jim?
Hello.
So what do you think about tonight? What do you think about tonight and now the East Finals with Miami sitting there, Maz?
So I think the series with Miami, if the Celtics get there, and I'm betting that they will. I don't know if it'll be tonight. I like their chances. I don't love their chances tonight. I like their chances tonight, but I love their chances in the series. Okay, I don't think Toronto's going to come back and win this series. So I'm not worried about that, even if the Raptors win tonight. Miami, that's going to be a war. That's going seven. That is going seven. And if they play Miami, and I'll tell you right now that I'm probably going to pick the Heat. Yeah. So, because I think it's going to be a bloodbath, and I think they have the tougher superstar, or the toughest superstar in the series, if that's what you want to call him. How about toughest star in the series in Butler?
Thank you.
So hold on.
So superstar is not what Jimmy.
No, he's not. And there isn't a superstar in this series. That's why I took it back, Murray.
Well, hold on. It's no longer best player. It's now toughest.
Well, in this series, I think it's going to come down to will, and I think Butler has the greatest will. I do. I believe that.
Okay, so that's,
I hope I'm wrong.
So that supplants talent, because usually it's almost always about talent.
Right. Why didn't the Bridges win anything? Because they were gritty, and they had balls. They were tough.
Well, because the talent levels on the two teams is pretty close.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
I've been in the mood for 6 months, but I am... I am so annoyed how you guys are already talking about this effing Heat team with overrated Jimmy Butler, these bomb-throwing Euros that are hot right now, and the leftover Bridges. Like, they're a fun story. They're a good story. They're tough. They're well-coached. That only goes so far in the NBA. We watched it with the Bridges. You will only get so far. Talent wins out. The Celtics have more talent. The Celtics, I'm going to spitefully say, they're going to win in five games. Gentlemen sweep. Because I'm already annoyed at how you guys are talking about the Heat and overrating Jay Crowder, of all people, all of a sudden, who we laughed at when he was here. But now, you got to watch out for him and his defense. And the tenacity that Jay Crowder shows. And man, Jimmy Butler, too, his toughness, too. Only goes so far in the NBA. Celtics in five. Ends tonight against Toronto.
What about Iggy and Eric Spoelstra, the championship pedigree there, Jim?
Oh, yeah, you know.
Who's won on this Celtics team?
Old-ass Andre Iguodala. Nice player, but washed
Finals
up.
Finals MVP.
And now coaching matters? So coaching now matters, too.
I've always told you that. Don't yell at me. Yell at them coaching doesn't matter.
Sorry, Jimmy. My apologies. Not trying to yell at you about that. But so now the coaching matters, and now Eric Spoelstra is going to out-coach Brad Stevens.
No, see, I think there's a very simple explanation to your argument. You're overrating the Celtics' talent. They're good. They're really good. They're not great. And neither is Miami. I think you get two teams that are pretty close. And so that's why I think that some of those other things are going to matter.
Go ahead, draft the series then for me, please.
Ooh, Butler, Tatum, 1-2.
So you're taking Butler over Tatum?
Right now in this series.
You're taking Butler over Tatum?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I think Butler impacts the game on both ends of the floor more than Jason Tatum does.
Right now, today. If we asked him 3 weeks ago, was that going to be the draft pick?
No. Of course.
I'm just telling you, I like the way Butler's playing. I'm watching these games. Butler's an animal right now. An absolute freaking animal. And that team is his. This, to me, is a big point. And I told you this, I think it was yesterday. Look at Jimmy Butler's career path. Everywhere he's gone, it hasn't been exactly the right fit. So he either had to be a babysitter in Philadelphia or the same thing in Minnesota and bring along like young temperamental players. Or it was in, you know, Chicago where it wasn't his team. So now it's clear. Now it's his team. And I think they've taken on his identity, as it happens in that league. And I think they made big moves at the deadline, significant moves, not gigantic, but significant moves. The Celtics didn't. And I think they are just about a dead heat.
Okay, so hold on. We're drafting the series. Butler's your first pick. Who's second?
Tatum.
Oh, that's big.
Honestly, you could go 1-2 there the other way if you want, but I'll take Butler first right now because of the experience.
No, because it's the mood you're in. who's the third pick?
I would say Jaylen Brown.
Okay.
That's nice of you.
Fourth pick. Oh, would you stop it?
What? You're going to say, Kemba?
Kemba Walker.
I guess.
It's Kemba Walker.
I mean, I think you run into an issue there where no matter who you pick with the next, it's a guy who's not necessarily an impact at both ends of the floor.
So who's the other? Who's
Tony, you disappoint me. You should have said Dragic there.
No, it's not Dragic. He's okay. He's a solid guy, but okay. He's not. I mean, Kemba's a better offensive player than Dragic is.
And he's better defensively.
Yeah, feistier. Yeah.
Yes, he's better.
But he's little.
Okay, fine. So.
Boy, the size doesn't count. I'm sorry, Murray. Size doesn't count in basketball.
Okay, all right.
I'll tell you what. Let's put Howie Sylvester's on the floor and see how that team
does. Who is the fifth pick?
Marcus Smart.
I don't know. I like Adebayo. He's a good player.
Yeah, that's fine.
I like Bam. I like Bam a lot. And then put their five against your five. It's close.
Well, no, you just three of the top four were Celtics.
Okay, and the fifth one's Miami.
Okay.
So three of the top five are, it's close. It's close. I love how you're trying to manipulate this.
I'm not manipulating anything.
And I'm just telling you, if you put their best five against your best five, it's a bloodbath. It's going to be a bloodbath. I'm telling you, prepare for that right now. You're going to open your eyes in about game five of this series, and okay. You're going to go, you know what, Maz was right.
You don't got to tell me. I like Miami. I've liked Miami all year. I've liked Miami since Murray sent me to Planet Zippy there at the Super Bowl, and I watched that team up close. And it turns out it wasn't just the throat lozenge that he gave me. That's a team that knows how to play. And so many of these games are all about the three ball, and they can shoot the three. They can shoot the three and defend. And you may not want to hear that about Jay Crowder, but he defends. He defends really well. And so does Butler. And now I think the offshoot is that some of those gunners that they have don't defend well. Like, you should be able to back down Dragic, and they should be able to take advantage of that, those guys. But they can shoot the three, and they can defend. And they know how to play. And there is a toughness to them, and I like that Miami team. You're better. There's no excuse now. There's no excuse. You should be in the finals. If they're not in the finals, it's an underachievement. It's a fail.
It's a massive disappointment.
It's a fail. It's not even a disappointment. It's not an underachievement. Let's be stronger. If they don't make the finals, it's a fail.
You guys are underrating the Heat.
Agree or disagree?
Disagree.
Agree.
Fail. So you're saying the Celtics just aren't ready to beat the Heat, Maz?
I'm telling you, Miami's a good team.
I know they are. I agree they are. So
the Celtics are still young. Some of those guys are still young. And I think you saw a little bit of that in game four against Toronto.
So you're going to give them an out and say, oh, they just lost.
I'm not giving them an out. I'm telling you, I think Miami's tougher. I mean, you gave the Bruins an out, for crying out loud. I'm not giving them an out. I'm telling you, though, that they should push Miami to seven.
How can you compare the Celtics to Miami versus the Bruins to the Lightning? Lightning are clearly a better team.
Well, you're telling me the Celtics are a better team than Miami.
Yes, they are. So it's a fail if they lose to them.
Yeah, I'm saying you said that. I didn't say that.
No, you got to agree.
No,
I don't have to agree.
So then, but I mean, there's no comparison. I mean, losing
gap between Tampa and the Bruins was bigger. But, I'm not convinced that the Celtics are clearly better than Miami. I'm not. I think that thing's going to be a bloodbath. Okay. I do.
I mean, I think it's going to be tough, too, because Miami's playing tough. The Celtics are better. And if they don't get to the finals, it's a fail. You've got this all laid out for you in front of you now. You got, the no home court thing, which wouldn't even have mattered for Miami in the first place. But you really had one team realistically that you could say had a gap between them and you, and Milwaukee blew it. Okay, so Milwaukee's out. And now you're sitting here 3-2 on Toronto. And next up is Miami. Were they the sixth seed? Were they a five seed? What were they, the five? You're talking about the fifth seeded Heat, who I think you won 3 or 4 against in the regular season, something like that. Mm-hmm. And you're going to say that's not a fail if they don't get by him? Oh, this is right here in front of you. If you don't win now, if you don't go to the finals, there's no fail losing to the Clippers or the Lakers.
Did they play them after the deadline?
But if you lose to this team, if you lose to Miami now, or if you lose this Toronto series or Miami, that's a fail.
I don't care how well Miami is playing, and they are. But just seeding alone, based on seeding alone, it's a massive failure if the Celtics don't beat them.
Oh, it's a fail.
Oh, it's not a massive failure. It might be a failure. Like, it maybe. I'm not even convinced of that. I need to see how it goes.
Celts have a better roster.
Did Butler even play in the game when we were down there?
No, he didn't. Nope, he didn't.
So, throw that one out. Like, Butler didn't play when we were down there for Super Bowl week. It wasn't even on the floor.
Retroactive asterisk. Okay.
What that was? So if the Celtics had played without Tatum, what would you have said?
Mass. Celtics have a better roster. They have three of the four best players. And you're giving, you know, I think everyone would take Tatum over Butler. But you're just in this Celtic state, you know. So, I mean, to me, I'm sorry. If you don't get to the finals now, 3-2 on Toronto, Miami staring you on the other side. Oh, woof. What a blown opportunity.
Tony, to answer your question, Miami beat the Celtics in the bubble.
Okay. I honestly, I don't even count the bubble games. Like, I throw those out.
I'm helping your argument. Why are you upset at me?
Because I'm telling you, I'm not upset at you. I'm just telling you that I am judging it based on what I'm seeing right now and what the talent they have, the players they've added since the deadline. You want to get mad at someone if the Celtics lose. Get mad at Danny Ainge for not adding a couple of bodies at the deadline.
Okay.
That's what Miami did.
We're talking. I'm in.
Like, that's what Miami did. So to me, if the Celtics lose this series, oh, it's because of that. It's because of that.
But they did add a body around the deadline.
Who?
Oh, a healthy Robert Williams mess. Don't you recognize?
All right, so
Murray's baiting me.
Okay, so Maz is just being a basketball contrarian. I can't stand those guys. But if the Celtics don't make the finals now, is it a fail? Is it a fail?
You said massive fail.
617-779-0985.
He's got your balls in a vise, and he is busting them.
Where should Giannis go?
I know where I would pick.
Where would you pick?
Brooklyn.
Okay, how does that happen?
I can't do the money for you.
Okay,
I can't do the money for you. I'm telling you, though.
It's got to be realistic in terms of they have the room or trade chips. And if they have the room, it's got to be in 2 years because then he plays out in Milwaukee. If it's a trade, it's a trade now. So, it has to be some dot connecting there that makes sense.
I'm just telling you, he'd be perfect for that team.
Okay, on the floor, how do they get it done?
I can't do the math for it. I'd have to look at their roster. But instinctively, I said, oh, what about Brooklyn? The other one is Miami.
Okay, so the favorites to land him in free agency after next year are Toronto and or Miami. So those are the two. Those are the two favorites. Miami will have room in a year. And I believe Toronto will as well. Toronto has the largest Greek population in North America. Who said that to me today on the email?
Jimmy.
Hi. Jimmy Stewart.
So they have the largest population of Greek Americans, North Americans, in whatever. They got a ton of Greeks there. And so that's, supposed to be a fit and obviously a championship caliber program and a need and da-da-da. And Miami speaks for itself as well. Should the Bucks trade him before he gets to that, before he bails? If you're Giannis, do you bail? Where should he go? And I'm saying, according to who? According to you, according to the league, what's best for the league? What's best for him?
Well, best for the league. I mean, if Anthony Davis were to leave because he's a free agent and go somewhere else, the Lakers would be a good fit for him.
Drink, that's on the table?
I mean, Davis is going to end up staying, but he is technically a free agent.
Well, see, so he's going to, but let's again, play it out. If Davis is staying, that's not a fit.
No, you get the big ones. I mean, Miami's if I were the Celtics, I'd be most concerned about Miami. Again, if he goes to Toronto, I'm not sure Toronto has the secondary pieces to be that much better than Milwaukee. I think it's a similar kind of thing. Not that there's anything wrong with what Milwaukee's been over the last 2 years, but you put Giannis with Butler, look out.
If you're Pat Riley or your jury in Toronto, do you even want him? Murray, do you even want him?
No, I don't. I think you've seen with this guy in the last year and a half has shown that he's a bit overrated. The window is now closed in Milwaukee. He's not a one. What I've learned about Giannis, and he's a force, but I don't think that the shot's ever going to develop. He's like a more muscular Ben Simmons. He's limited. I don't think it's going to improve all that much. And he's just not a one. So if you pair him with, you have a Steph Curry or another superstar, okay, he can be a two, but he's not a one. I don't care about the MVPs. He's not.
So you don't even want him. If you're Miami, you don't even want him.
Well, let me give you some numbers, and then you tell me if you would want player X as a comparison, because there was another guy I was thinking about that he reminded me of when he was in his prime. This guy has comparable numbers in terms of, Giannis is five. His teams have lost 5 of 8 playoff series. Player X has lost 5 of 11 playoff series. Giannis, his team's 22-22 in the playoffs, .500 record. Player X was 29-28 in the playoffs. Giannis, teams are 8-10 when trailing in a series. Player X, teams were 9-14 when trailing in a series. Would you want Player X if I told you he was Dwight Howard?
I don't know if I've ever wanted Dwight Howard.
Thank you. And I think there's a lot of similarities. Because Dwight, during his Orlando era, was a force and was talked about as the new big man in the NBA. He's going to win multiple titles. Like, that's who he kind of reminds me of. And he needed other guys.
Oh, there's a big difference, though, between the two.
Yeah, way better handle, way more athletic, and a willpower.
No, that's the third thing is the difference. I mean, Dwight Howard always had a little bit of the dog in him. I always wondered where his head was at. Giannis, I don't worry about his head or his heart or his balls. He just doesn't have game yet. And maybe he never will. Maybe you're right about that. But let's pick this up on the other side. Where's the best place for him, for Giannis? And if you're the Heat, if you're Riley, if you're do you even want him? And give me a, you know, give me a trade proposal for me. If I'm the Bucks GM, give me a trade proposal, and I'll tell you whether I'll trade him or not. He's got a year to go. So all that's on the table. Hoops to start at 617-779-0985.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Question again is Giannis.
Well, listen, I hope Giannis does like a Michael Jordan or Dirk Nowitzki. Don't just be a chump and try to join another organization. Battle through it. Michael Jordan just said, I'm going to get better. Dirk Nowitzki said, I'm just going to keep getting better. And they end up winning the championship. You know, I hope he doesn't become a chump and just jump to another organization. Listen, I think he got to, I hope he signs the max deal this summer and say, I'm going to win in Milwaukee. You know, I could join a super team and win, but I want to still have my own legacy and identity.
That was Charles Barkley last night on TNT. So Giannis joining a super team. He can't choose it until next offseason when he's a free agent. Or unless he wants to, you know, pull an Anthony Davis or sort of engineer his way to a team by saying, yeah, you can trade me there, but I'm not going to, you know, sign long term. So you can sort of pee in the pool of every other team until there's only one place where you'll sign an extension. And then that's the only team that'll trade for you. Okay, so you could do that too. If you're Giannis, do you do that? Do you want to do that? Do you stick it out of Milwaukee? And if you do want to do it, and the Bucks are going to make a move, I'm the Bucks GM, make me a trade proposal, and I'll tell you whether I'll do it or not. Because I've been telling you, Giannis is overrated for a while. I'm well aware of his deficiencies. But I treat him differently than Dwight Howard or some of these other superstars who I think will never win. Like, I think James Harden's a dog, will never win. I think Dwight Howard has no heart, will never win. I think, there's some other guys like that. That guy's never going to win, and he's super talented. I don't put Giannis in that category. I think he's got tremendous heart and guts and ethic and all of that. He just has no game, and maybe he never will. But I do think his heart's in the right place, and I'll take that over those other guys. And if someone can figure him out, figure out how to use him properly, he should break through. But anyway, you got a trade proposal for me.
Well, so look, I think it could work with Brooklyn, and I'm just going by this, you know, online trade machine. But you'd have to give up some combination to make the math work of Dinwiddie, LeVert, and who's the big guy there? Allen. Some combination of those guys, and you got to throw some salary in with DeAndre Jordan or someone like that.
No sale. I'm not doing that.
Those are pretty good players.
Oh, Mike, that's a great deal for the Bucks.
Those are pretty good players.
Where are my lottery picks?
Well, so you want draft picks?
I want lottery picks.
Well, I don't know if Brooklyn has picks. I can't help you with the picks.
I want lottery picks.
I'm just telling you, to make the math work, you got to start with some combination of those players.
How about this?
If you don't trade Giannis and get lottery picks in return, and that could be the guy, you know, when any of those guys recently, where was LeVert drafted? I mean, if you want to tell me that there was a high pick last year, like that thing sort of works. But it's got to be lottery picks. Go.
I just used this on TradeNBA.com, and it actually said success. So Giannis goes to the Golden State Warriors.
Okay, now we're talking.
Along with the 2021 first-round pick and the 2020 first-round pick they got from Indiana.
Second overall. The Warriors are picking second overall this offseason, and then they have a protected Minnesota pick that is top three protected for 2021, which is supposed to be a great draft. Go.
Bucks get back Andrew Wiggins.
Okay, I don't want Wiggins, but I'm interested in those lottery picks.
Wiggins blows.
Okay, yeah, Wiggins is an albatross, but if you can suck with Wiggins, you can get your own lottery pick. You get this Warriors lottery pick. You get Minnesota's lottery pick next year. Now we're talking. Like, that's what I want if I'm the Bucks. I don't know if there's a player. You know, what player am I going to – I'll trade him straight up for –
Right, you just got to make the money work
I'll trade him straight up for Zion Williamson. Like, I mean, I'll get that sort of guy. There was another one floated, DeAndre Ayton in Arizona.
Okay? Oh, good one.
Phoenix. If Phoenix would give you Ayton and whatever else, would I trade you? So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, either a lottery pick now or in the next couple of years or a recently drafted lottery pick, then, okay, I'm doing it. Other than that, Milwaukee shouldn't pick up the phone. He's just going to ride it out for a year, hope he changes his mind, or if he's saying he doesn't want to go anywhere. So hopefully no one gets to him or he doesn't change his mind and just sort of ride it out. And I don't want to blame Budenholzer because I think it's on Giannis more than anybody else, but you've got to figure out how to use the guy.
Well, look, I respect the fact that he wants to stay there. I mean, I can't sit here in one breath and dump on the Durants of the world for always taking the easy way out and then criticize Giannis for staying in Milwaukee. So I find that to be respectable and noble. It's honestly, I think it's the right thing to do. Like, and look, I say right thing to do under the, you know, under the guise of what's just. But, you know, for him, you got to find out. Losing Brogdon was a big blow to them. The more that I look at that.
I told you they signed the wrong guy.
That was a big blow.
They signed Bledsoe and Middleton and let Brogdon go. Ah, oh, please. Come on.
Bledsoe blows.
He's a bozo. 2 for 12 last night. Just keep shooting, buddy. All right, so your thoughts on Giannis and his next location. Where do you want him? You know, Celtics got to watch out for this. Giannis joins Butler in Miami. Now you're the third team in the East. You're second next year behind Durant. If Giannis goes somewhere with a real team, now you're really third. There's another reason why. This year, ooh, door is ajar. Door is ajar. Yeah, Kawhi out of here, LeBron out of here, Giannis out of here. You don't have to go through any of those guys. All you got to do is go through Toronto and now Miami. Come on. And if you don't, oh, that's a fail. That's a fail at this juncture. Your phones, as promised. Mike and Malden, go.
Yeah, it is a huge fail. It's a major fail. But it's really funny to listen to Tony talk about this, like, vaunted Heat team. Did you catch the end of that game where Milwaukee ran every possession and attacked Jay Crowder, who, like, missed every defensive assignment, every defensive rotation, can't keep up with guys with speed? I mean, that's, like, one of their better – that's one of their great NBA trade deadline acquisitions, one of their better perimeter defenders who's – no good, and I watched that movie play out here for a long time. Miami's just not that good. They're not that good. I mean, they're good-ish, right? But they're not that good, and you should smoke that team to get to the NBA Finals.
Okay, Mike. You know, I saw Crowder be a factor manning guys up.
That guy's a green teamer, please.
I mean, was he behind on his switches and whatnot? I'll leave that up to James Naismith. When I watched him, he was a factor in that series.
So all of a sudden, it's all about Jay Crowder then? We're like, going to ignore Butler and the three-point shooters and everything else?
No.
I mean, it's asinine. So Miami matches up pretty well with you. Hey, they match up pretty well. They got a bunch of wings. They got a bunch of guys who can shoot. And they have a big guy who's basically the same size and as athletic as yours, meaning Tice and Williams, even if you want to throw him in. But Bam will, you know, basically, I don't want to say neutralize, but he's their version of it. I think the thing's close to a dead heat. I do.
I have no problem with you calling up and saying Miami isn't that good and the Celts will smoke them. No problem with that. When or if the Celtics lose or struggle, then I want you to call up and rip the Celtics and not say, oof, well, this is a tough opponent. And you can't have it both ways now. So Mike and Malden and any of you that want to downplay, we do this with the Patriots fans all the time. You know, going into the game, they suck. Oh, they're a bunch of idiots. Oh, their coach blows. You know, this is the opponent, right? They spend all week, Mahomes is overrated. Andy Reid's a loser. And then the, you know, Patriots beat them and we say the opponent sucks and everyone calls up and says, well, why don't you give the Patriots any credit? Well, you just spent all week ripping the opponent. So I'm just following your lead. Same thing, Celtics fans. You want to rip on the Heat? No problem. If the Celtics lose to them or when they win, then we get to call the opponents a bunch of bums. You didn't accomplish much, did you? Can't have it both ways. Here's Eli in the truck on Giannis. Where should he go?
Hi, guys. First time, long time. Just my take is, what do you think about Giannis on the map? But I'll let you guys talk about
it. So who do I get? Porzingis? because they're not giving up Luka.
No, no shot of Luka.
Okay,
no.
So
it would have to be Porzingis on probability.
Do I take Porzingis back?
I mean,
after he came back from that injury, has he been anything close to what he was supposed to be?
He's just one injury waiting to happen.
No, he hasn't. No, he hasn't. And so, look, again, but, to me, I can't get – I'm trying to go by what you want. Do you want picks or players?
So I want picks or recent high picks. So, like, for example
– So Porzingis qualifies.
Zion Williamson. So when I say lottery picks, I'll take the lottery pick from last year. I'll take – when was Ayton taken? I'll take a lottery pick from 2-3 years ago.
Yep.
I'll take that guy. Or I'll take your future lottery picks. But I don't really want anything else. Like Miami, I was trying to play around with Miami, like, because I think Riley is someone who would figure out how to use him. You know,
definitely.
He'd build the offense around him, but he wouldn't have the ball so much. Like, it's just crazy to watch the Bucks and the way they use Giannis. He brings the ball up the floor, and then he's all alone, isolated at the top of the key, and it's like, why are you doing this? He has no game. If once you stop him, that's it. Okay, and all the spin moves, just build a wall there and take the charge. And I think Riley would figure out how to use him. But if I'm Milwaukee, you know what? They're forget their draft pick. They don't have any draft picks. They're too good to have any high picks. So then you got to give me Bam. You got to give me Hero, who I like. You have to give me Dragic. I don't know what else. You know, I mean, like give me everything I want other than Butler. I still don't know if that's enough. I don't know. I mean, would you trade Giannis for Bam, Hero, and Dragic?
Ponies.
I mean, I like all those players.
Yeah.
But it's like...
Well, that's the problem when you trade a star player in that league, though. You're never going to get equal value back in talent. So if you go the draft pick route, then he ends up somewhere else.
You know,
I mean, Golden State's a good one because of their tanking this year.
At least I want that lottery ticket.
Yeah.
You know,
I got you.
At least there's a chance. You know, I like Bam Adebayo, but what's he ever going to be? He's never going to be a franchise player. Another of those 2 euros who I like, but there's got to be a chance for a franchise player coming back. So that's if I'm not, then I'm just riding it with Giannis and hope he stays true to himself and doesn't change his mind and stays in Milwaukee. But the Celtics should keep an eye on it, because if the Bucks add, if they pull a rabbit out of their hat, people talk about Chris Paul there. I think that would change things. I think that'd be a better mix. Get the ball out of Giannis's hands. You know, you got to watch that. Where does he land, and where does that put you next year? We'll pick this up right after Big Jim Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Back to your phones as promised. If the Celtics fail to make the NBA Finals, is that a fail? Anthony and Natick, go.
You know, I've been listening to you guys since you've been on the air, and that is because you're the best. There's no question about it. But, Tony, you bring me to three, in those past 10 years, you bring me to three emotional states when it comes to basketball. At first, it was anger. That was the first emotional state. Then it became indifferent, and now it's become amusement. Because I know you wake up in the morning, Tony, and you figure out, how am I going to piss off Boston today by whatever I want to come up with?
I don't do it that way, but go ahead.
Will it be a disappointment? But, hey, Tony's got a fair shake in this, because will it be a disappointment if they don't beat the Heat? Yes. But the Heat are not a bad team. Now, this is what I would say on it. If they don't make the finals, I will be extremely disappointed. And I'll take it a step further. If they're not competitive in the finals, and I by meaning competitive, winning at least two games, I will also be disappointed.
Okay, forget disappointment, Anthony. Fail.
It's a failure if they don't make the finals.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you, Anthony, for the call. They're ahead of Miami. They're ahead of Miami. They've been ahead of Miami. They're ahead of Miami. And you can make the argument they weren't ahead of Milwaukee, but they're not there anymore. And with Kawhi out of Toronto, You know, that's a team that you should be past, especially up 3-2 now and not having to travel to their building or anything like that. You should be in the NBA Finals. If you don't make the NBA Finals, you have failed.
Okay, so again, you say they're ahead of Miami. Were they ahead of Toronto going in?
Yeah, I think they were. And
but Toronto had a better record during the regular season.
Celts underachieved. That's another dirty little thing that Celtics fans don't want to admit or don't understand, but you underachieved in the regular season.
So I can't say now that Miami's better than they were at the beginning of the year because they picked up some players at the deadline and it's come together a little bit better than people thought.
No, you can say Miami's better than you thought they were or they got improved, sure.
Okay, so this is my point.
I just don't think they jumped the Celtics.
I don't think the gap between them is all that big. In fact, I have felt all year long that it was Milwaukee and then everybody else in a pile. And in that pile was Miami, Philadelphia, the Celtics, Toronto. Now, some of those teams separated. Philadelphia is a train wreck. So I'm not even going to include them anymore. And Toronto,
that's big of you. So you've admitted that one was wrong?
That was a disaster. Okay. Yeah, I mean, why put up a fight on that one?
All right, I'm just making sure.
You guys are underestimating the Heat. And you're overrating the Celtics.
Okay, so, but from the start, I had Milwaukee and then the Celtics and everybody else. I felt this way all year. And the fact that they were only the three, and if there was no pandemic, they would have had to travel to Toronto and then to Milwaukee. If Milwaukee again survives Miami, like, no, I would have looked at that and said, you should be better. You should be better. If Tatum and all these guys are as good as the fans keep telling me they are, then they're the clear team in the East right now. The clear team, and anything short of the NBA Finals is a failure at this juncture. Jerry in Dorchester, what should happen to Giannis?
Tony the Monk Maserati is the only one preaching the truth on this station. I will say, if I had to make a trade that you guys haven't said, I'd say Giannis to the Trailblazers, and I would say for McCollum, either Nurkic, Whiteside, and a couple picks. And also...
Not enough. Not enough. Where's my franchise player there?
That's not enough for Milwaukee.
And the picks are what?
See, this is why the Bucks shouldn't trade him. So if you're looking for that pick, you know, and then make the money where he's a hard guy to move.
It's got to be someone else's pick. Or it's got to be a current lottery. The Warriors picking second overall. Now, this is a crappy draft, right? There's nothing there. So, like, apparently, again, what I was reading today is that the Warriors, they have a Minnesota pick in 2021 that is top three protected, which normally you would say not so hot, but apparently the 2021 draft is supposed to be outstanding. And so, and also I think Minnesota is going to suck. And so if you're telling me you get the second pick this year and then a top five next, you know, hopefully the fourth or the fifth next year in a really deep draft, now we're sort of talking. But why would I want Portland's picks if they have Giannis and are finishing in the top 10 in the league? I'm getting a bottom, you know, I'm at 20 pick in the first round that does nothing for me.
No, you wouldn't. I mean, again, to me, this is why, part of the reason why I'm throwing bodies at you. The problem with Giannis is now there's a year left and it's big money. So, like, you know, to satisfy that need, that's going to be a hard guy to move.
You answer the question. So Murray thinks Giannis is not the guy, meaning if he's a free agent and Miami and or Toronto could sign him for nothing in return, just money, Murray wouldn't do it.
Oh, please. That's insane.
Okay, how do you feel about that? Would you do it?
In a heartbeat, I would do it. He's a force on the defensive end, if nothing else, and he's more than that. I'm just saying, at worst, he is a force on the defensive end. And if you put him with the right people on the offensive end, he can be a force down there, too. You make a good point about how they use him. They misuse him.
Someone's got to figure him out.
He's not a jump shooter.
You know, the whole thing, he's got to shoot threes.
Get his ass to the basket. You want to get him on the high post every now and then and give him the ball out there because he can make a 15-footer or, you know, put the ball on the floor. Fine.
He can't really do those things either.
This whole bubble experience was completely set up for them to come out of the East, and they failed miserably. And I don't want to get on them too much for this ankle thing, but I don't know. You couldn't push yourself a little harder to get out there if I'm going to be consistent and get on a guy like Tuukka Rask for tapping out
for various reasons.
Like,
I think he wanted to play. And I think that this is my read in the post game.
The team pulled the plug on him.
The team was thinking Durant in the back of their head. We're not going to push him on the floor and have him resent us the way Kevin Durant resented the Warriors and we lose him. We've got to think long term. And he's going to be pissed tonight. And he wanted to play. He was out there in the pregame. He was rebounding for the team. Like, and this is sort of another little sign with him that he's on the bench cheering. He's rebounding in their pregame shoot around. And so he's out there. He wants to be. And so I believe he wanted to play. He would have been out there. And the team is like they're just so, you know, walking on eggshells with the guy and thinking about what happened to Durant and whatnot. That I think the team pulled him, like legitimately pulled him. But where was I before that? Someone's got to figure out how to use him. What does every 7-footer now have to shoot threes? I mean,
look, again, this is the problem with the league. You got a guy like that that is an absolute weapon near the basket. Put him near the basket.
Can there be one guy?
Don't be stupid.
Can we have 1 7-footer that plays a little more? Like, he runs the floor out, you know. You can use him on the fast break better than any player in the league. So he can, he's not like he's just purely Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with a skyhook with his back to the basket. So he'll run the floor. But in the half court, does he have to hold the ball outside the three-point line? Like, what is he doing out there?
That's just today's NBA.
It is, and it's stupid.
I hate it.
Yeah, it's stupid. And I would say, I don't know, you know, the more I look at him, you're talking about a big guy who's athletic, can be a force around the basket. He's kind of like Anthony Davis, isn't he? Isn't that the better comp?
I mean,
Davis isn't exactly a sniper from distance. He's not the, you know.
Better shooter, though. I mean, you can just tell the way he shoots. He's a better shooter. But
from the line, he is.
But,
yeah.
Well, what's his three-point percentage?
Anthony Davis, the three-point percentage is 32%.
And what's Giannis?
I don't know. I'll find out.
He's under, I think.
He's got to be in the 20s,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. It's like, does every seven-footer have to shoot the three? Like, can we have one guy that doesn't?
This year, he was 30%.
Someone's going to figure out how to use him. And you just better hope that guy's not in the East who figures it out. Long commercial-free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Conversation.
Never not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Man.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
But at the end of the day, you got to learn from everything that goes on in your life and in your career. And hopefully we can learn from this and, you know, get better as a team and come back. And hopefully you can build a culture in Milwaukee that for many years that we can come out here and compete every single year for a championship.
So that's Giannis. Heard him say it right there. Hopefully we learn from it and we build something in Milwaukee. So he's not talking about going anywhere. There was another question where the guy asked him, is there any chance you would request a trade? And he said, that's not going to happen point blank. So you're the Bucks. You hope he lives by his word, signs a max contract, and off you go. And now how do you surround him? Someone's got to figure that out. You know, they're going to fire Budenholzer. They should fire Budenholzer. But I just hate saying that because now it sounds like I'm blaming him when he's not to blame. It's about the players. And Giannis just hasn't developed that counter move to his game. And the players around him just aren't good enough. I feel like I don't know why, like, seasoned real basketball people overrated that team so much. I do know why. They won so much. I think they set our NBA record for most wins in back-to-back seasons.
Maybe, yeah, could be.
I think that's it. When you combine last year to this year, they won more games than any team in NBA history. Generally, those teams win because they get into the playoffs and they have home court, and you don't lose at home in the playoffs. And so generally speaking, they were on pace for 70 wins this year. So I get it. You know, they just sort of fall in love with that win total. But if you really watch them, just watch. Giannis really has no game. He has no secondary, you know, once you stop him one way, he very hard for him to beat you another way. And what is Chris Middleton? What's Chris Middleton?
Well, he's a shooter.
Yeah, but he's a
hot and cold shooter.
He's not even.
He's a good shooter.
He's fine. He's a B-plus player. You know, he's a B-plus. He's an all-star, but the 12th all-star. You know, he's not a strong all-star. And Eric Bledsoe's a complete clown.
Well, he's a stiff. I mean, that guy's a complete stiff.
He's a loser.
Giannis is a transition player. Part of the problem is, too, the game changes in the postseason.
Precisely.
Yeah. And so, you know,
get back on defense, build a wall, and now he's got to beat you another way. And he doesn't have it yet. Maybe he never will.
I mean, you talk about a team that could have used, like, Kemba Walker. Walker would fit well there.
Well, so this is why I'm saying Chris Paul. Like, so you take the ball out of his hands, get your butt down on the block. We're just going to score two this time down the floor. Like, I don't know. Is it just gotten so goofy with the analytics that it has to be the three ball every time down the floor?
It's stupid.
And it's
again,
crazy, right?
Yeah, and go back to the last game with the Celtics and the Raptors. The Celtics won that game by getting twos. That's how they want it. When it's there, why not take it?
I wonder if someone's just going to be—he's going to look at it and say, you know, there's now an inefficiency. It's gotten too three-point happy, and there's inefficiencies inside because there's not enough big centers, not enough people defend inside. And if we can just, you know, go to town inside, this is actually more efficient. Someone's going to figure it out eventually.
I mean, I think most people play on the perimeter because they don't have the big guy. Milwaukee has him. Like, I put that part on Budenholzer, Mike. I do. I put that part on Budenholzer. And again, I'm not telling you it's the coach.
He's just doing what everybody else does.
I know, but again, don't.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Don't.
Someone's going to figure it out.
If you're just going to do what everyone else does, then you can hire anybody to coach.
No, so there's got to be a new guy in there. But I'm not blaming him. Giannis has to develop a game. Ned and Dedham on the Celtics with an important question. What is it, Ned?
Hey, guys. I wanted to hear your take on how much of a factor or non-factor Gordon Hayward's return is in terms of how far this team will go. They seem to play so well without the guy, and they shouldn't need him if they do advance and play Miami. But if they were to make it to the finals, do you think Hayward could tilt the scales against one of the L.A. teams?
You heard it here first, Ned. Thanks for the call. And I'm sure it's not the first, but I just said that. You don't need him against Miami. Against Miami, he's going to get in the way. Against Miami, he's going to get in the way. You will need him to beat the Clippers because then you need all hands on deck, and they're deep and all, you know, all of that.
You'll need another scoring option, so yeah.
Yes, I think you'll need him to beat the Clippers. And I still, and even then, I'll pick the Clippers.
He's not going to get in the way against Miami.
He's going to get in the way against Miami.
No, he's not.
There's going to be a transition with him coming back. He's going to get in the way of Brown or Tatum. He's going to take away minutes or shots or flow, and Brad's going to overplay him because it's his buddy, and he's going to get in the way against Miami. Not enough to lose it, but I guarantee you, his first couple games back, people are going to be like, he's hurt the cause.
If Stevens uses him properly, he won't get in the way. So I can't speak for how Stevens will use him. But if they use him as a bench guy, he'll help. I mean, look at some of the... You want him in there or you want Shimi Ojeleye?
I want him.
Okay, so like that to me is
well, so
what...
how many minutes does Ojeleye get?
Okay, so this... But it's not just Ojeleye. It's Ojeleye and Grant Williams.
Okay, well, Grant Williams plays for the Lord now. So to me... No, it's Ojeleye. So is Brad Stevens going to play Gordon Hayward semi-Ojeleye minutes and paying him $35 million a year and is, you know, picking him up in the Prius or the Subaru there at the airport?
Right?
Because you know Stevens drives a Subaru. You know, no, I just don't think you can use him. They'll be tempted to use him more. He's too talented. They have too much invested in him, etc. So he's going to get in the way. They'll figure it out. They should be able to. Figure it out, but to start, he's going to get in the way.
They're going to need him in this Miami series. They're going to need him in this series. When they go to a second unit, they need somebody out there that has a clue. That's not Brad Wanamaker or Shimi Ojeleye. And Wanamaker's another one. Like, I would say to add his minutes to Ojeleye's and let me know what you come up with.
Did you do some cryptic tweeting about Gordon Hayward overnight here, Mass? People are telling me?
Well, it was today, around midday, a little cryptic tweeting.
What was a cryptic tweeting today?
You know, are people convinced that Hayward is leaving again for the birth of his child? And I said, I'm not convinced.
This is like a talk show thing where he all of a sudden has this opinion, Murray, and he asks it like that.
Yeah.
It's like, where does that come from, Mass? I don't know. I'm just wondering.
As soon as I saw the tweet, I knew the Apple Watch went off.
I'm just not convinced that he's leaving again. I think, did his wife put something out there in the last day that the next time he comes home, he won't be the only guy in the house?
I'll take your word for it. I don't follow Penelope.
So he
on
left
him.
Why don't you follow Penelope?
I'm not wasting that.
Oh, come on.
Follow on her.
Look it up. It's Robin Hayward. Robin with a Y.
Penelope.
So I don't know. He left. He went. I can't speak for what he's going to do. I'm just telling you that I don't think it's a given that he's leaving.
So you're saying he's going to stay and play basketball while his wife gives birth to his next child?
Yes.
Oh, did you hear that, Abby? Okay, Abby, it's time to get out the picket, get out the signs, and go out there to Dover Wellesley line, where you know wherever Gordon lives, and it's time to picket the Gordon household. He's going to work instead of staying for the birth of a child. Whew, I hope you rip them. I hope you're consistent, Ab. Love you, mean it. But let's just be consistent now. Because me and others catch a ration when we suggest these guys should come back and play ball and everyone's okay. So now Gordon Hayward may leave his wife to go play ball while she's giving birth. I want to hear you and others rip the hell out of Gordon Hayward. Let's be consistent, shall we?
It feels to me like, again, based on what was social, Penelope has given him the green light to stay.
I don't see it. Maybe it was on a story and it already disintegrated. But
I think it's out there.
Again, Maz, with this thing. We'll take your word for it. Let's pick this up on the other side. 90 seconds, no commercials. Don't go anyway. Just an update from Big Jim Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.